Good evening and welcome back. It's another edition of Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, here to review some of the best content the Vikings Entertainment Network produced over the past week. The content is always better after a win. Unfortunately, the Vikings dropped their game against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, 30-13 at TCF Bank Stadium, which puts the Vikings and Packers on the same level in terms of overall record at 7-3, but the nod in the division because of the head-to-head tiebreaker goes to the Green Bay Packers. So you have the division-leading Green Bay Packers playing at Chicago. The Vikings are in second place in the NFC North, in good position in the wild card race, and they're going to play the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. Okay, let's take a listen to what the locker room sounded like after the game. On Sunday, we'll go, unfortunately, to a losing locker room for the Vikings. The first time they've dealt with a loss in 5 weeks. Here's what it sounded like.
Credit should go to Green Bay. I think they played better than we did tonight. And I think we've made too many mistakes, penalties, especially in the first half. You know, you go back to San Francisco, that was out of character. We got beat today. But there was some good things in there, too. Sometimes you have to give the other team credit as well. We still got 6 more games to go. Let's play them out.
Tough loss today. Thinking on the positive side, if you look back at training camp, who would have thought we'd be sitting here 7-3 right now after 10 games. But we know that a game like this won't be good enough to continue to compete in this division, compete with a team like Green Bay. Had too many negative plays today, starting driving 1st and 20. We have to cut down on some of those things. We have 6 more opportunities, and we have to make the best of those. Like I said, the unique thing is we control our own destiny. We have a chance to face Green Bay again January 3rd. And right now, we just have to, learn from today. Like you said, it was an opportunity that we missed out on. But I'm still proud of those guys in that locker room. Those guys, continue to compete, for 4 quarters. And the thing about these guys, we stay together. And that's Coach Zimmer's message. As far as to just continue to stay together and believe in ourselves, and I think we have a great group of guys, so we're going to continue to do that, and we'll see you next week.
The first 9 games, you're the least penalized team in the league. Do you have any kind of idea why today was the day that it just didn't come up?
No, I wish I did, but I don't know. But besides the penalties offensively, we just got to be better, running the ball, getting a push-up. Of field protecting Teddy. It was just kind of out of sync today for whatever reason. I think we'll be able to look at this tape, regroup, see the things that we definitely need to improve on because we have a long stretch ahead of us and come back and get ready for Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't think we've probably been in a tough situation like this since 2012. Probably under this regime, this is maybe the first time. So it's a young football team. We'll learn from it. We'll take the stuff that happened today and just understand that, really the mantra is going to be accurate to, we got to worry about the things that we do, and just focus on our assignments. And again, credit them for making the plays. They made some great catches and throws, and defensively they played well. So they just played better than us today. I don't think it's one of those things, situations where the spot's too big or the spotlight's too bright. I think it's a situation where they played some pretty good football today and weren't able to get on top.
Vikings-Packers was no doubt the game of the week in the NFL, and that means a lot of big names came to town to take it all in. That includes NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Fox's Troy Aikman and Aaron Andrews. Take a listen to what they had to say.
Your thoughts on the stadium, that you...
I haven't yet been over.
Okay.
To see it. We're going to go on a tour after this, but from the outside, it looks extraordinary. I've been following it online from back in New York, and obviously talking to the Wolves on a regular basis, but I think it's terrific. I think the way they brought the community in and the facility itself is obviously going to be state-of-the-art, and I think it's going to be great for our fans and great for this community.
I see Matt Burke there. Matt's in your office now. What's he bringing to the table?
I'm not sure I can say that on camera right now. No, I have tremendous respect for him. I got to know Matt a little bit more when he was NFL Man of the Year several years ago. And he's every bit of Man of the Year. I think he's representative of the vast majority of our players who I think do great things in their community. And Matt's one of those guys. And we were able to attract him to come in and help us be a part of the NFL and make the NFL better, and he does every day. So we're proud to have him.
The Vikings are going back inside, and the NFL, it seems like, has really figured out how to capture the imagination of a good December game or a game like today outside. From the NFL's perspective, would you like all outdoor stadiums just to and take the chance and get a good snowfall?
Well, I'm one that grew up in Western New York, so I sort of love the elements. And I think that's what football's all about. So I love a great outdoor game. On the other hand, you know, these stadiums are built with a lot of considerations, including the community considerations. Can you use it for other events? I dare say you wouldn't have a Final Four coming if you didn't have a dome. So those are compromises you have to make. If you're going to have a facility that's going to be used multiple times and have the greatest impact on the community. And that's something we recognize. So while we love being outdoors, we love being on natural grass, we also understand that there are other events that need to come into these facilities. And sometimes those involve compromises on what we may like all the time.
So did you come with a parka and a hat and the whole thing? You're good.
I did. Crazy situation, though. Came with the parka, came with the scarf, came with it all. As I was packing last night, the pom-pom for the ski hat, which the NFL players all have, it fell off. So I was like, okay, do I try to sew this? I don't, because I don't actually own needle and thread at my house. What do I do? Do I try to find a tailor? And I was like, wait a second, the equipment staff with the Vikings probably, well, definitely know how to sew better than me. So first thing I said is, can I get a depth chart and can you sew my pom-pom on?
What is it like for you to do that? Because you're doing that show out in LA. You did the World Series this year for Fox, and you're doing the best game on the NFL calendar every single week for Fox. What is that like?
It's awesome. It's also why I look 87 years old. No, it's great. I mean, there was literally a point this year after Game 5 of the World Series that I handed the trophy to the Kansas City Royals, did a ton of post-game interviews, managed to get out of the clubhouse without being drenched with champagne, got on a jet, maybe had a beverage or two, passed right out, and then landed at 6 a.m. on a Monday to do Dancing with the Stars. And I was like, what city am I in? I definitely need a shower. I know that. But it is. It's so amazing. I mean, Joe and Troy, I'm so lucky to be with those guys. They're obviously one of the best announcing teams out there. They make watching the game like you're just sitting at a bar and talking to your friends, which is so cool. So I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah, you are. You do. You have a busy schedule, but a fun schedule. And this weekend, it's Vikings and Packers. Now, the last time you were in Minnesota, you were doing something with one of our players. You're doing a story on
Adrian Peterson.
And I would imagine he's a guy you're going to be talking about a lot this weekend as well.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. I mean, just seeing what he did even last week, and really your whole team. I mean, it's hard because when we haven't covered them all season, you're not, you know, diving in deep with the stats and how everybody's doing. But I was blown away just, you know, how stingy this defense is. You know, I never got a chance to cover Teddy Bridgewater in college, but I knew his head coach very well, Charlie Strong, and I'm excited the way he's flourished, you know, in this system. Reading a lot of articles this week about don't call him a game manager, so we definitely won't be doing that. But yeah, just overall this, you know, we're getting ready to sit down with the coaches and the players and just excited to hear more about how things are going.
An offense constructed by Norv Turner that features a great running back. You're familiar with that.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to that in a little bit. But first, when a quarterback looks at Mike Zimmer's defense right now, what does he see?
Well, you see a lot of multiple looks. You know, he doesn't just get locked into one particular thing, mixes up coverages, brings a lot of pressure, you know, once he gets you to third downs. And, you know, that's where he thrives. He's not afraid to bring it. You know, covering a lot of these teams around the league, you don't see quite as much of the multiple looks that he shows. And what I see is a defense that's doing a lot of what I saw when he was at Cincinnati. And they've got good players. I mean, this is a talented defensive team. And then collectively, they really are playing outstanding.
All right, and the offense with your buddy Norv Turner and with Adrian Peterson, how do you think they're going right now?
Well, they're playing to their strengths, of course. And you know, anytime you have Adrian Peterson on your team, that's a real strength. And he was terrific last week. He's been terrific this season. I'm amazed at how well he is running the football and how quick and explosive he looks. And I know there were some concerns coming into the year with some of the injuries up front along the offensive line and moving things around. But, you know, they've been able to hold it together. And so they've put the threat of the running game, you know, back into their offense. And then that creates some opportunities that, quite frankly, they haven't been able to take advantage of yet in the passing game. But I see that coming. And so I see an offense with some real playmakers at the wideout position, some fast guys, that I like. I've didn't know a lot about Stephon Diggs until the last couple of weeks, and I like him a lot. And I've been a fan of Bridgewater since he came into the league. So yeah. I think they play complementary football, and it's good.
Yeah. Last question was about Teddy. The gaudy numbers aren't there, but they might not be asking him to make those gaudy numbers, those big box scores. But how about in some of the clutch moments?
Yeah, and I think that really is what the position ultimately comes down to. You take a guy like Cam Newton, for instance. He doesn't have the gaudy numbers. And I think sometimes in this fantasy world that we're in, we pay too much attention to that. Or at least we try to determine a player's ability and his success on what the numbers indicate without actually watching the player. And I think that's a disservice to a guy like Teddy Bridgewater. I like him a lot. They are going to rely on the running game as they should. He has made plays when he's had to make plays. And the most important thing is that he's won. And I think at the end of the day, that's how quarterbacks are judged. And with that in mind, he's having a heck of a year.
Okay, we have more show to go, but we're up against a break. Before we go to break, a programming note, join host Mike Mussman along with Brian Robison at Poor Richards in Bloomington tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. for a special pre-Thanksgiving edition of Vikings Country. This is your final chance to win a trip to the Miller Lite, touchdown in the tropics in Playa del Carmen, so don't miss out. Visit vikings.com/vikingscountry. For more information and for more Everything Purple, stay tuned. Welcome back. It's Everything Purple, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We have more show to get to, but first, let us tell you about this. The Vikings are giving away a pair of tickets to the first game in their new home, plus an exclusive on-field experience. Register now at usbankstadium.com/contest. Okay, going up against the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, the Vikings' new pass defense was going to be a key, and they had a hot player in their secondary. It was Terrence Newman. He had 2 interceptions and 5 tackles against the Oakland Raiders going into the Green Bay game. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, and he was a guest of Paul Allen's on Vikings Game Plan.
Welcome back to Vikings Game Plan. It's the Xfinity Player Breakdown with Terrence Newman, one of the cornerbacks for the Minnesota Vikings in his 13th year from Kansas State. He has 39 interceptions, and he had 2 at Oakland at age 37. Still a lot of run in those legs. What's your secret?
Had to bring that up. Just taking care of the body, man, and doing a lot of film study.
Terrence Newman absolutely ran this route for Amari Cooper.
Coach Gray puts us in good position. He prepares us well, so we know what's going to be coming our way. And he did the same thing this week.
Terrence Newman at 37 years old can still break on the ball, and Marcel Reese was waiting for it to come there, and he almost got.
With your speed and your athletic prowess, how much of that is just God-given, and like how hard do you have to work at this stage of your career?
I don't know if you can really say I have speed nowadays, but I can still run a little bit, but I still work at it. I mean, God's blessed me for sure. To be able to play corner this long and still have a little bit of success at least. And like I said, our guys up front play well, so it helps us in the back end for sure.
Down goes Matthew Stafford, Everson Griffin.
Derek Carr is sacked.
And there again is Linval Joseph. He's having a monster game.
Would you say that's a major key to this defense having success, the way they play up front complimenting you guys?
Yeah, they're the heart and soul of this defense. I mean, there's no question about that. The way they play allows us to play the way we do in a back end. And without the way they play, I promise you, we wouldn't be very good.
Is playing cornerback, the toughest position in football? And if so, why?
Absolutely. it's a debatable deal, but you do the most unnatural thing, which is running backwards pretty much, versus a guy who's running forward who knows where he's going. That being said, that alone makes it, one of the hardest.
What do you see in Aaron Rodgers when you look at 2015 Aaron Rodgers?
He's no different than the 2014, 2013. He's a very, very cerebral quarterback. He reads defenses. He's probably one of the toughest guys for a defensive line to get to because he's so good at, eluding the rush and making plays with his legs and his arm. He's got one of the fastest releases in the game. He's the Steph Curry of quarterbacks because he gets the ball out of his hands quick. He's got a lot of guys to work with. So,
from Dallas to Cincinnati to Minnesota, Terrence Newman has been with Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer. What are some traits of Zimmer's coaching that you'll forever appreciate?
Just the fact that he's tough-nosed, but he's respectable. He'll cuss you out, but then also he'll tell you when you're doing good. And he genuinely cares about how his players are.
Hey, I love this team, fellas.
And he'll fight for his players any day of the week. So those are things that, you know, everybody on the team loves about him.
Do you find that he's especially hard on defensive backs?
Do I? I mean, that's, has I mean, it always that's, been like that? That's his passion, though. I mean, that's when I first came in the league, he was my DB coach and my D coordinator. So
good turn. Burst out of that turn. Not so much arms this time. Yeah, just let him hang, relax, loose.
You see a practice goes along. He always gravitates. He's always watching. He might be on another field, but he's watching. So, you know, that's his passion. That's his baby.
Up next, we're going to go to NFL Network's Albert Breer, who took an interesting look at some hiring habits in the NFL when it comes to head coaches. There was a string of head coach hirings of very young coaches, but Breer took a look at two teams, the Arizona Cardinals and the Vikings, who hired veteran coaches to guide their organizations. Take a listen.
And Albert back with us now live at Around the NFL, writes about Mike Zimmer, who's 59, and Bruce Arians, 63. Albert, both coaches are winning. They're both older than your average head coaching candidate. With their success, are teams going to look differently now with the hiring process that will inevitably happen in January?
Well, the truth is they already kind of have. If you go back and you look at the old trend of hiring younger coaches, everybody looking for the next John Gruden or Bill Cowher. Over the last decade, seven guys in their 30s have been hired as head coaches. So how have those seven done? Well, Mike Tomlin's the only one standing. The other six were all fired within 3 years, and that's caused teams to value experience a little bit more. Arians was an NFL assistant for 20 years. Zimmer was an NFL assistant for 20 years. I talked to the men who hired those guys this week. Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell gave me some pretty interesting insight. He said he wanted a guy who'd work with a lot of different head coaches, a lot of different quarterbacks, a lot of different middle linebackers, because he felt like with all the adversity NFL teams face, having a guy who had diversity of experience would be important. So what happens last year? Well, the Cardinals go through three different quarterbacks. Arians still finds a way to get them to the playoffs. Then you look at Zimmer. Right before his second game as an NFL head coach, the Adrian Peterson situation explodes. He still gets that team to 7 wins. Both those teams benefited from the experience. Both those teams are now 7-2. So with potentially 10 to 12 head coaching openings in January, I think experience is going to be a valued trait when teams are looking at new guys to be in charge.
Yeah, it's amazing. You always go with the young and new thing. Sometimes the older answer is right there in front of you. Mike Zimmer is the only head coach hired in 2014 that has a winning record right now.
We'll stick with the coaching angle here and talk more about Mike Zimmer. Vikings Beyond the Gridiron took a look at Coach Zimmer. Even coming off of a loss to the Green Bay Packers, I think all Vikings fans would say Coach Zimmer has this thing going in the right direction. The key to Coach Zimmer's success is, at heart, he's a teacher. Vikings Beyond the Gridiron took a closer look.
No matter if it's in the classroom, on the practice field, or during a game, there's one thing Mike Zimmer is always striving to do. Teach the game of football.
Chest down, chest down, chest down. Attaboy. Lower, Zave, lower, Zave. Get your chest down. Just let him hang, relax, loose. Good, better, better, better. Relax.
Football is a passion for the Vikings head coach. It's not only his job, but the motivating factor each day in his life.
The part that gets me excited is when I get out here and I watch the tape on these guys. I go out and watch practice. I watch how hard they work, and it motivates me to try to be the first that's ever happened in this organization.
The Vikings already have 7 wins in the 2015 season and continue to be one of the young and rising teams in the NFL. Led by their head coach, they hang their hat on a hard-working and determined mentality. And come Sundays, no one is more prepared and energized than the head coach.
Hey, let's go today, huh? It's you, baby. It's you. Let's go, five. Let's go. Let's have a good one, huh? All right, Robert, let's go, babe. Sir. All right, 52, how we go? Let's settle down and go play now, huh? Let's settle down and go play, all right? Let's go to work. Come on, babe. Run over him. Run over him. Run over him. Let's go to work, huh? Let's go to work.
It took him 20 years of coaching in the NFL and 15 years in the collegiate ranks to get his well-deserved head coaching opportunity. After getting his chance, he continues to make the most of it. Never one to settle and be happy with any success, Zimmer keeps his never-ending work ethic going 365 days a year.
I was never a silver spoon guy, and I just think that the harder you work, number one, seems to come. You know, I had worked 20 years or something in the NFL to become a head coach, and I'd see guys that, you know, who I thought I was better coaches than get head coaching jobs. So I've not known anything other than to work, and that was always my way to, you know, when I saw something like that, it was, well, I just got to work, you know, I got to keep working, keep doing this and doing that. So, and I want our football team to have that mentality. Honestly, it's a little bit about a mindset and it's a little bit about a mentality.
As the Vikings have hit the back half of the season, they have confidence knowing their head coach will have them as prepared as possible to play on game days. His constant drive and determination to keep getting wins has made a big impression on his players.
He shoot it to you straight, you know, how it is. You know, he's a guy that I know I can depend on. He's a guy that I know that's going to do what's best for our team. And with that, you gain so much respect. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a rookie, if that guy has earned a position or he looks the best, he going to put him out there and play. And with that, you see guys see that, and guys, you know, respect that.
I've never had a coach challenge me as much as Coach Zimmer has, and that be, you know, physically and mentally. And I think it's been great for this organization to have his voice come in here. And you know, it's also a voice of reason and understanding when things, you know, are going wrong. He's got the, you know, the personality. Everybody thinks he's so, you know, stubborn, hard-headed, but, you know, the reality is he's just a good football coach.
Teaching is what gives him the most passion and enthusiasm each day he steps into Winter Park. He walks the practice field looking for opportunities to teach the game. He uses game days for on-the-job learning and film sessions to work on improvement. Mike Zimmer is the ultimate teacher, and that approach continues to have the Minnesota Vikings heading in the right direction.
I honestly love this job, and the reason why I say that is because of the people I work with and the players that I'm working with. I like how everything is set up. I think we're building in the right direction. We're trying to build a great team. Guys that want to fight for each other, guys that want to compete with one another, guys that want to go out and work, and when the game gets on the line, being able to handle those situations when everything is chaotic around us.
That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Everything Purple. Remember, we'll be back next Tuesday night, same time, to recap some of the best content the Vikings Entertainment Network had to produce over the past week. On behalf of everyone here at the Vikings Entertainment Network and KFAN, we wish you and yours a happy Thanksgiving, and we thank you for listening. We wish you a good night and leave you on a good note.